regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets, trying to consume some skirts for the E, so I could get some phones. Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC, on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All of you skirts know what's up with 213. So I hook
select. Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast. Episode number
93.
Officially sponsored by
Brims and Tons Clothing.
Get the latest and greatest in hats, shirts, and shoe accessories. Only at brimsandtongues.com. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com.
Hey, you want to do this? You want me to do this right now? I'll do this. We can do this all day. Do this all day, brah. I don't really talk like that. I'll stop. How are you? I'm doing good. Pretty good. And shit. This is episode 93. Coming up on 100 here. Hondo. Steady Hondo. Looking forward to that. So I realized my wife pointed out to me in the last episode, I threw in this Chewbacca commercial that I did. I've updated it to reflect Brims and Tongues sponsor in the middle of the show. And I used to be able to do this Amazon Associates thing where I could actually make money with this podcast. But I don't make any money. There's this Amazon Associates thing that used to be legit here in Minnesota, but somehow the government in Minnesota here, some politicians decided that we were going to start taxing Amazon purchases or something like that, or internet tax. Then Amazon was like, well, if you're going to do that, then you can't have Amazon Associates. And all Amazon Associates was people like me who, you can sign up for it if you have a business in Minnesota, in any state, really. There's some exceptions, including Minnesota now, where you can purchase stuff on Amazon. If you were to click the link on the website that I used to have on thankyourob.com, it would take you to Amazon, but it would have my data in there in the URL of the website, and I would get credit for purchases that you made on Amazon, and it was pretty sweet. Because I literally could make money. But, like I said, somehow Minnesota taxes internet sales now. Amazon doesn't like that. So they're like, fuck you, Amazon Associates. So somehow I mistakenly put that commercial in the previous episode with Midway Felix. And now people are going to my website, thankyourob.com, and looking for the Amazon link. It's not there anymore. And I apologize, it was a mistake. And I still make zero money. I'm back to zero again. So I still love you though. Still love you. And I still buy stuff through Amazon, even though I don't make any money from my own purchases. Which doesn't make any sense at all. Today's episode of the show, episode 93, I had the idea of let's get back into talking about music. Let's forget about the 80s for a little while. And I brought in my good friend Johnny Question Mark, because the other day on my iPod, I brought up Warren G, Regulate, the album. And I was like, you know what? I know my good friend John likes this album, Johnny Question Mark. So I thought, hey, what better way to bring back music as a topic on the show than by bringing in someone that really legitimately loves this album like I do. So I knew that about him. There's some other things I know about him too, stuff that I won't mention. But usually when you have friends, you know stuff about them. So yeah, that's usually how friends work. And we had a good conversation about Warren G's debut album, and it was a good time. So You'll hear that in just a minute. John's got an album. He's raps under the name Johnny Question Mark. A really good album, and I suggest you check it out. It's probably like $10 out there. Get it at your local record store if you live in the Twin Cities. You will not be disappointed. Production by Laserbeak, Professor Fresh, Caesar from Out of Bounds, MC Rents, and Egypto Knuckles on there. So it's well worth it. Well worth it. I reiterate this in the show here, too. I am looking for an intern for the podcast. This is very serious. As I said in this episode, you'll hear me later repeat what I'm about to tell you. This is very serious. I am legitimately looking for an intern for the podcast. I call it an intern, but you're more of an assistant slash co-host of the show, possibly, if you have the personality, if you got the chops to share a mic on here and we can mix it up. We can make a kick-ass podcast even more kick-ass. Kick-asser, if you want to say that. If you want to make words up. I'm not above that. But yeah, go to the Thank You Rob Facebook page. There's a link to a Craigslist ad. And I'll throw the link in with the podcast here too, so you can get to it easier. I know I hate when people say just go to this and then click this to go there. Whereas if you're listening to this podcast right on thankyourob.com podcast page, there's a link right there. I can't make it any easier. I can come to your house and I can type it in to your web browser. That would make it easier. I'm just not going to do that. As much as you and I would both like that. That's really cocky of me to say. I'm really not that cocky. So I'm just going to end it with that. Let's get into episode number 93. Let's talk some Warren G with Johnny Question Mark. Or should I see? Just get crazy and wild. But no, I chose D, create the G child. It's been on ever since with me and Mr. Grimm. The shit is getting so hectic that I can't even trust him now. What would you do for a Warren G cut? Would you act a fool and nut the fuck up? Back the fuck up, act the fuck up. Niggas talk shit, they get smacked the fuck up, straight up. You don't see what I see every day as Warren G. You don't hear what I hear, but it's so hard to live through these years. You don't see what I see every day as Warren G. You don't hear what I hear, but it's so hard to live through these years. You don't see what I see every day as Warren G. We're recording here,
right?
On the Thank You Rob podcast. This is episode number 93.
Woohoo!
7 episodes away from 100.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel, being that Johnny Question Mark over here was number 1?
I feel like maybe you should have saved me for 100.
I actually got a good guest planned.
Oh, good.
A bigger guest.
Oh, okay. I see.
I'm gonna say a big guest. I'm gonna say that.
Well, I'm excited.
I'll tell you off the mic.
Off the mic.
Yeah. Johnny Question Mark here in Hello. Front of me.
Yeah.
Episode number 1.
Yeah.
Episode number 22. All right.
Yep.
53.
Yep.
Best of. That was actually our recap of 2013.
Yep.
And we're going to have to do this again, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Episode number whatever that's going to be.
Do you remember what we talked about at 22 and...
No.
No, I don't.
I remember the recap episodes.
I remember, yeah, the
because episode number one was terrible.
One was,
and it wasn't you. It was, you know, it was new.
Yeah, it was new.
It was new.
I didn't really know.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Now you know how this
year
goes.
Year end. We did sound set.
Yep, we did the sound set one, 74, and yeah. Then 78 at the Caboose.
So I made a lot of appearances.
You have, yeah.
I'm gunning for the number one spot. I don't think I'm there yet, though.
Yeah.
Who's number one?
Remo Williams is Remo. Number one.
I'm coming for you, Remo.
Better watch your back. Watch your back. Last week had Midway Felix on for his third appearance.
Yeah.
Third appearance.
One of the best.
Yeah.
Love him.
And we kind of recapped. I did this best of, like, the best summer of your life 80s thing, and I'm just ready to get over it.
Yeah.
You know?
You're over the 80s?
Or I am, and that's why I have to recap that recap of the 80s that we just did last week. And we talked about, like, the top grossing movies of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the top grossing movie of the 80s was?
The number one
number
top
one
grossing movie of the 80s. No, I. Do you want me to like guess?
Yeah, I do want you to guess.
Back to the Future.
That is in the top 10.
That would be my guess. E.T.
E.T., yes.
E.T. would
number
that's,
one.
That's that would be, yeah. It E.T. came to me right after that.
It's number one. Return of the Jedi, number two. Empire Strikes Back, number three. And I'm sure if you looked at the top grossing movies of the 70s, Star Wars is probably
right up there.
Up there, yeah.
Probably The Godfather.
The Godfather, there. 70s?
I don't know.
Sure.
Google it.
Yeah, that's... That's why I need an intern, you see.
There you go.
This third person.
Have you hired an intern yet?
Not yet, but I've got some lines. Right. I got some nibbles. Yeah. Some nibbles. That's what I'm going to call it. Today we're going to talk about a classic. Classic. Warren G.
Warren G.
Regulate.
Yes.
The G-Funk era.
I always pronounce the dots.
How do you pronounce them?
Regulate. Dot, dot, dot. G-Funk era.
Okay.
Or you could say ellipse.
Ellipse?
Ellipses.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
when
you put the three
called.
Dots together.
I like to use those. I like to use ellipses, though.
I always feel like you leave, like, it leaves sort of a open-ended thing. Like,
right.
It makes a sentence sound sarcastic, even if it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to avoid them.
How do you like beginning a sentence with ellipses?
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever done that.
See that the way you answered that could have, in the form of a sentence, could have began with.
Because I paused.
Yes.
It's that brief pause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People learn a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been waiting to use my English degree.
Here we go.
All these years, and here it goes, people.
Well, Warren Griffin III,
mm-hmm.
You know, his debut album, Step Brother to Dr. Dre. A lot of people forget about that.
They do.
I was curious as to know like what the relationship was. Half brother, step brother. It's step brother.
And they,
confirmed.
They got to be how old is Dr. Dre? I don't think they're all that close. I mean, they got to be at least 5 years apart.
Right.
In age.
Yeah. Well, as you know, on this album, Warren G says 11, 10, 70.
That was my intro. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's 44.
44.
How old is Dr. Dre? He's gonna be 50, right?
He's probably about 50. Yeah. Warren G, he looks older.
Warren G
days.
Looks older than Dr. Dre.
I would say,
just
yeah, because Dr. Dre is kind of...
Well, he's all buff now.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for him. I mean, $1 billion can buy you muscles.
Right.
Warren G doesn't have $1 billion.
No, he does not. He does not. But did a little research. Dre taught Warren how to make beats.
How to sample, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually read this. Someone did a... I'm trying to remember who it was now. Pitchfork, maybe?
Okay.
Somebody wrote this great article on the 20th anniversary of the
Regulate.
Album.
Yep.
And it opens with, you know, Warren G and his rapping and stuff. And he talks about how Warren did a bunch of work on
the Chronic. Yep.
Uncredited.
Okay.
Where he'd pick the samples.
Yep.
And he'd put them in, you know, in the machine. And then Dre would basically hear them. If he liked them, then he would... redo them, but he would take all what Warren G was picking a ton of the samples that were on.
So I know he had a good hand in Nothing But a G Thing,
mm-hmm.
too. So I don't know if that was credited or uncredited. I've heard that Dre doesn't like to. I don't know if it's him that's not giving the credit where credit is due. I know Daz did a lot too, mm-hmm. in those days. Daz, you know why? Of course, Warren G also introduced Nate Dogg and Snoop Dogg. To Dr. Dre,
mm-hmm.
and
from their days as 213,
yeah. The 213 album, the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that?
I have.
Not so good.
No, I'm not a huge fan.
No, I guess there's at least one song in there that I really like, mm-hmm. and I couldn't even tell you the name of it. Three the Hard Way is the name of the album.
I feel like that album was like 10 years too late.
Yeah, right. And that's exactly what it was. If they would have made it in like late 90s, early mm-hmm. mid to late 90s, I don't know, somewhere in the 90s.
I think that could have been like the what brought it all together, because there's like three sort of big albums of that. Like for me, like the big three sort of G-Funk albums, you have The Chronic, you have Doggy Style, and you have, you know, Regulate.
Yeah.
And that could have been like the fourth in the
super
quadfecta.
Right. Yeah. There is, like, the Dog Pound's Dog Food album
mm-hmm.
is really good, but it doesn't have that play, you know, replay value. Right. Like
it's not on the same level. It's like an it's like one level down.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A sub sub level. Mm-hmm. Let's go with that. June 7th, 1994. This album was the first album I ever bought on vinyl.
Really?
And I didn't even have a record player. My dad had one, but I had to like get it out of storage and you know, hook it all up. And that's when I learned like how, like this is how you hook up. You can't just mm-hmm. plug in speakers to a record player and play it, you know. Mm-hmm. But this album, so I owned it on vinyl. I had it on tape. And then of course CD and now MP3. So I think mm-hmm. I've covered most of
them. You own it in every medium.
Yes.
Except for like 8-track, which eight I don't track. Know if it's available.
That does not exist.
That was actually, to my knowledge. It was actually the first rap record I ever owned. And I did not own, initially I did not own it in a legal fashion. I was 10 years old and was going to school and mm-hmm. I had like an interest in hip hop, but I didn't just really know where to get it. And I had fairly protective parents who were not just going to let me go out and buy a Warren G record okay. at 10. And there was a friend of mine at school who had it and he was 2 years older than me. And he recorded it onto like from tape to tape.
Okay.
So I, to this day, I still have that tape.
Nice.
And it's the entire Regulate album on this tape.
On one side.
And then like three songs from, do you remember when the Bloods and Crips made a record together?
Yes. And Banging that, on Wax?
Yeah. And that was the, my introduction. That was the first physical rap thing I could ever hold in my hand. And I still have that, you know, to this day.
That's two sides of it. Well, a similar coin, but, yeah. You know, like some G-Funk and then mm-hmm. real gangster rap.
It was really aggressive and so bad.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, it was really, really awful.
Yeah.
Those Bloods and Crips songs were bad.
Yeah.
Don't tell him I said that.
I won't. The Bloods or the Crips?
Both.
Both? Yeah, 1994. So you were 10 at that time.
I was 10 years old.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what was interesting about this, these are the days before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
This album came out on Def Jam. It's definitely an album you thought would come out on Death Row.
Right. I think people assumed it came out on Death Row.
Right.
Because of the connections, but.
Yeah. And so apparently at those times it was like, if you weren't Dre or Snoop, your album was not coming out anytime soon.
Right.
And luckily Warren had the, I guess the smarts to realize that. You know, after his buddies, Snoop and Nate, signed to Death Row, mm-hmm. he's like, okay, if I... And this happened to Nate Dogg. Nate Dogg's album never came out on Death Row. But the album that did come out later, which he had to independently release, I love it. G-Funk yeah. Classics, Volume 1 and 2. Good shit. Good shit.
Doesn't surprise me that you love that.
Yes. Yeah. And so Warren's like, I'm going to go do my own thing and... And I think it worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah. Well, and that record, like, because the song, because Regulate the song, or is it Regulators, the song, and Regulate the album?
That's Regulate.
Okay, so both. Regulate the song yep. came out before.
It was on Above the Rim.
Yeah, it was on the Above the Rim soundtrack, which, yep. was, I mean, it was hugely popular. So, yep. like, you know, probably, I have to imagine that went platinum, that just the soundtrack.
Right.
But when, I remember, like, the anticipation of mm-hmm. it being like, oh, Warren G's album's coming out. Like people are excited about
right.
about that record. It was, yeah, it was palpable.
Right.
It was, you could feel the excitement.
Yeah. I was that way about Snoop Dogg's album.
Mm-hmm.
That was back when like you'd have to go to Sam Goody
yeah.
to see like the new releases are coming soon.
And then they had the thing coming soon with all the list of the yeah. albums.
And the Snoop Dogg one was on that list for quite some time because I kept getting pushed back and pushed back. But this album is kind of not in the same sense, but kind of Warren G's The Chronic in a yeah. way. You know, not hugely successful in that same way that The Chronic was, where all of the artist features are pretty much, you mm. know them. Like, I couldn't tell you where the fuck Lady Levi is these days.
No.
Or Dove Shack.
Dove Shack. Love
yeah.
the Dove Shack.
Yeah, I do. I love the Dove
or the,
Shack.
Or the Twins. What the happened twins. To the Twins?
Yeah, right.
Or who is the lady rapper? She had her own. She
Ja
had her whole,
yeah, her Super own, Soul Sis.
Yes.
I always thought that was her name.
Yeah. Super, yes. And she had a whole, and that sort of, I guess, sort of lends something to your point that he'd give other people entire songs.
Right.
He wouldn't even be on them.
Right.
And would just be like, he'd make the beat and he'd just sort of let people run with it. Like he was building his own
yeah.
his own thing. no Death Row artists, I think.
Besides Nate Dogg.
Yeah, besides Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere that Suge Knight was trying, like, almost took him to court or something to try and get
that song
Nate Dogg, no, to get Nate Dogg not to appear in the video.
Oh, really?
For the song. Like, he said, you can't appear in this. But, and it was a big thing with them.
You know what I liked about Nate Dogg? Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Was that he seemed like, he had this soulful crooning voice and music, but he still had that, like, he wouldn't be bullied type attitude. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he was probably like, fuck, like, he seemed like some guy would be like, fuck you, Suge Knight, you know?
Very few people probably can say that, right. But
I mean, I have no idea, really.
I bet he had the stones.
You know what? Super Solstice, though, because of that song.
Yeah.
I knew what halitosis was.
There you go.
Talk so much shit, I got halitosis. That's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Good
and
stuff.
And that's the thing. Like, he put people on records, and it wasn't all gold.
Right.
But there was some really good, and I'm trying to think of the track now where he just lets the kid, young guy, high voice, or was it a guy? Maybe it was a
woman.
Are
you talking about What's Next, Mr. Malik?
Yes. And he comes through and just crushes.
You know who that? Okay, you got to know who Malik is.
I don't. I'm not familiar with him at all.
Malik is actually Snoop Dogg's younger cousin.
Oh, there you go.
But he was. This goes back to like Criss Cross, because Criss Cross came out, and there was another label. I want to say like not Rough House. It was Rowdy Records or something like that. And Eric Sermon had something to do with it. If you're familiar with Eric Sermon, he produced this album. He was like, we got these two other kids, except for they're hardcore. They were called Illegal.
Yeah.
Malik and Jamal.
They're like gangster.
Chris and they Cross? Would cuss. Yeah. They were, they weren't gangster, but they were definitely hardcore. Mm-hmm. They were like a kid version of Onyx. You know what I mean? And there I was huge into Criss Cross. Mm-hmm. So I hated when people dissed them, but they had this song. The name of the song eludes me now, but they dissed Criss Cross. But it was like, it was so hardcore, and they were cussing, and there were kids, and it was like, fuck yes, I love this.
Yeah, and he came really strong, except for, I think it's that track, at the end, Warren G is clearly freestyling, and in a very bad way, and including the part where he spells next wrong.
N-X-E-T.
But it's like, Mr. Malik comes through with this great, like, hard verses and really good stuff. And then at the end of the song, I think it's the end of that one, where Warren G's just sort of going.
Yeah.
And it's like, you should have cut that part off the song.
Yeah. That, you know, Malik was on, he was on Doggy Style.
Mm-hmm.
He was on this album. He was on a few Death Row releases featured. And he kills it every time. I really wish he would have done more.
Did he ever put out his own record?
I think he has a couple.
I've never heard any of his records. That's my homework, I think.
There you go. If you find it, let me know.
You know who probably has his records?
Are you going to say Egypto Knuckles?
Egypto Knuckles. Next time I meet up with him, I'm going to be like, you bring me your Mr. Malik records.
Yes, yes. what else? Okay, so this was the introduction of Dub Shack to me. I've never heard their solo album.
Mm.
But the song, This Is the Shack, love it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a song I would never, ever skip. Never. Not once.
No.
I guess out of this whole album, is there a song you would skip? The only thing I would say is like the skits.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the ho draft.
It was funny. Like the first
few that's times. Like when I was 10 years old when I first heard it, I'm like, oh, ho draft, that's hilarious. But now it's like, skip it.
Yeah.
Or the guy who's he's like a preacher guy early on in the record.
The gangsta sermon.
There you go.
Ricky Harris.
Yeah, and I could do without that too. But that it was like that era. There was something about that time where you had to put like skits,
yes,
interludes or whatever on the record. Like you had to do it, and I still don't understand it. Like I feel like it takes away from the record in a lot of ways. But
let me ask you this: so after this album, and you knew of the Dub Shack, have you ever heard the song "Summertime" in the LBC?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of my. That's in my top 100 favorite songs of all time. I'm going to throw that song at the end of this podcast.
I love it. It's a great idea.
You know, it's a great summertime song. This is the end of the summer. It's just going to make sense to people. They don't understand right now what I'm telling them.
No.
But when they hear it at the end of this podcast, they'll be like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm ready for fall.
Yeah. Now. It's time. Well, it's time. You know?
another thing that you notice in this album, Warren G is not the best lyricist.
No,
okay?
He's not.
He's pretty much rhyming for the sake of rhyming.
Yeah.
And he loves to tell you that he knows Snoop Dogg.
he does mention Snoop a lot.
A lot, yes.
Well, and a couple of those songs are sort of like the point of them is like he really likes to see, or he seems to like to reminisce on a lot of his songs. Like he likes to tell old stories. Like back then, here's what I used to do.
Yeah.
You know, should I do this or should I? You know what? And he spent a lot of time like telling old stories, and every story he told, Snoop just happened to be in. And it was funny. He kind of likes to name drop Snoop a little bit, and Nate Dogg. And
he was the beginning of the game.
Yeah,
maybe Warren was a big influence to the game.
And the game loves to do that, where he not only people but like products and things. And Warren G does that a little bit too.
Okay,
he's talking about like Pioneer speakers. Like he's specifically Pioneer speakers.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. Product placement.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he got any money for that. He should have.
Should have. Yes.
If he didn't, I bet he sold a lot of speakers for Pioneer after that record came out.
Like he was a salesman at a store. Just kidding.
Well, maybe that too.
Warren's still making music, man. This 20 years later, mm-hmm. he's supposed to be releasing Regulate G-Funk Era 2 this year.
This would be appropriate given if he gets it out in the next few months.
Right.
I mean, the 20th anniversary.
So in an interview with Billboard.com in April of this year, Warren G was hoping to remake the song Regulate featuring newer artists, and he cited Macklemore
really
as one. Wow. Which could be interesting.
Could be.
He didn't mention anybody else.
Well, I wonder how it would work, because sort of the whole premise of Regulate is it's sort of like they happen to run into each other,
right?
But it's like now if you wanted to see your friend, you could just like call him or send a text message. Back then it was like pagers. Yep. If you had a pager. Yep. Otherwise it's just like I'll see you when I see you. Or I'll call you on your home phone.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they would have to change the lyrics or the premise of the song.
Yeah, which might be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nate got the freaks, and that's a known fact.
Maybe they can let, what's his name, Wands.
There you go.
Sing the...
Is it Wands or Wayne's?
Wayne's? I don't know. I really don't know.
As long as the song samples Michael McDonald still.
I think they should just put Michael McDonald on it.
Oh, that'd be good. You know what? Okay.
He's still around.
Absolutely. If people aren't familiar, Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers mm-hmm. sang the song, I can't forget, I'm not in love anymore. That's the song. I don't know what it's called.
I don't either.
On Pandora, for some reason, the only version of Regulate that comes on is this mashup where it drops that sample of the Michael, it mixes that sample in with this song, with Regulate.
Right.
You know?
It's like what they did with Puff Daddy and Sting when they did I'll Be Missing You, and then they started putting in the Police song.
Except for, okay, I can tolerate that Michael McDonald mm-hmm. song on its own,
yeah.
and obviously Regulate, but don't put them together. I mean, I get that that's the sample, okay? There was actually another online reference magazine or something did an interview with Michael McDonald and Warren G.
Together?
Yeah, this year.
They're like hanging out?
I don't know that they were hanging out, but they did meet in like the 90s after the sample happened. And you know what? These older artists that get sampled, you got to be happy.
Well, I'm sure he...
Because they get paid.
He got paid and good. I'm sure he got, you know, a lot of mentions, people talking about him. And
right.
Got his name out there. And, I mean, not that Michael McDonald needed to get his name out right. there. But he was probably, you know, in the 90s was not really a huge time for Michael McDonald. You know, the Doobie Brothers had sort of peaked and gone right. down. He'd doing a solo thing, but it was probably like it allowed him to, I don't know, come back.
Resurface. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't know. For one thing, Michael McDonald these days looks like George Lucas in a way. Like white hair,
like
white beard.
George Lucas.
If you don't know, Google Michael McDonald. There's also in the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Do you remember?
Yes.
The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
He's like, I'm a Yamo, burn this place to the ground.
Yeah, there's a scene with Paul Rudd where it's almost like a Circuit City, if you remember mm-hmm. Circuit Cities. And they're replaying this Michael McDonald DVD over and over again.
Anyone under the age of like 30 just turned this podcast off, by
right.
the way. Because we're talking about Michael McDonald and Circuit City.
But it's good. You know what? To be honest with you, Michael McDonald made some good music.
He
Doobie
did.
Brothers included.
Yep.
I couldn't tell you one Doobie Brothers song, but if you played it, I'd probably be able to sing it.
It Keeps You Running.
Is that a song?
Yeah, that's a Doobie Brothers song. It's a banger.
Actually, I think I got some vinyl.
What a Fool Believes? Yeah, there's some great Doobie music.
That's why I wanted you on the podcast, because I know you'd be able to throw out some Doobie Brothers titles. I got Doobie Brothers tickets. That's really got I have about this album here. It's a classic.
It really is.
It really is. It absolutely is.
It started me on a path towards hip hop. I mean, if the first rap record I ever got was horrible, mm-hmm. for example, what if it was only the Bloods and Crips album? I probably would never have started rapping or making music or doing any of that stuff. So like, I can partially thank Warren G for
my
musical career.
I forgot to tell you, in case you didn't notice listening to this album, he also likes to spell his name.
Yeah, big time.
And refer to various spellings. And
he spells like he spells out Long Beach. I think I went on the side. It was just like he just loves spelling.
Snoop, the S to the N to the double O P.
Yeah. Anything to make the rhyme work. I think that's if there's one knock on the album, I think it's going to be the lyricism. But in the end, that's not what the record was about.
No.
Like this wasn't, you know, it draws interesting parallels because it came out the same year as Illmatic. And the two records couldn't be more different. I mean, they're both great and I love them both in mm-hmm. their own sort of way. But Illmatic is sort of, it's a cold New York record, mm-hmm. you know? And Warren G's record is like the quintessential summertime California laid back,
right.
chill album. Yeah. So it's interesting now that they're sort of celebrating these 20-year runs together,
right?
As they're sort of polar opposites of each other.
I wish this one would get more light though. It's awesome that Nas is touring and performing this whole album. I would go see
if Warren G came and played this record. I mean, half the people on this record, he probably doesn't even know where they are anymore. Right. But if he could somehow,
maybe that's why
he could somehow dig up the Dove Shack and the Twins and find everybody and just take the whole show on the road.
Yeah,
I would. I'd pay money to see.
Yeah,
that.
I absolutely would too. I'd go with you. Could we go together?
We could go together.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got a date?
Yeah.
It's a date.
It is.
Well, let's take a break here, and we'll talk about. I got some good stuff to talk about when we come back here.
Sounds
you have
awesome.
No idea.
Oh boy.
Hey Chewbacca, that's a nice hat you're wearing. What's that made of? Suede? Velour? Tauntaun fur? What? Brims and tongues, huh? I've heard of them. They make the matching tongue inserts for your shoes too, right? What? You got the matching Tauntaun inserts for your Chucks, too? Oh, I see. Brimsandtongues.com, huh? But those are exclusive to you? Yeah. Always let the Wookiee win, I know. But I'll check out Brimsandtongues.com right now. Thank you, Rob Podcast, and Brims and Tongues do not condone the killing of fictional characters such as a Tauntaun. Star Wars, Chewbacca, Tauntaun, and are all copyrighted material used without permission from Lucasfilms. And we are back again. We are back one more time.
One more time.
For what's NXET, right?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
That never gets old. I wanted to make a t-shirt of that.
What's NXET?
Like spell what's NXET, but the people will be like, why did you, they spelled that wrong, right?
But the people who got it would really appreciate it, I think. I would get
I'm going to still, I'm still pursuing that.
I think you should.
I got to.
You probably should edit this part out of your podcast so no one steals your idea. What if someone else puts out a what's NXT?
How about I just beep it out? I find that if you beep things out, they'll be like, what did they say?
People want to know more. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
This is the time in the podcast where I tell the listeners, instruct them mm-hmm. to head over to brimsandtongues.com for the finest in hats, shirts, and shoe accessories. They also have a backpack now. Are you familiar? They have a backpack.
Am I familiar with backpacks?
Well, yes.
Yes, I'm familiar with backpacks.
You've gone to school for more than half your life.
I went to school for many, many years.
You did. So you're familiar with backpacks.
I'm very familiar with
backpacks. And you're a rapper, so of course you know what a backpack is.
And I'm from Minnesota, because every rapper from Minnesota carries a
backpack.
Wears
a backpack.
Yeah.
Brimsandtongues.com, fresh from head to toe, proud sponsor of the Thank You Rob podcast.
And yeah, they really do great stuff.
They do. Shout out to Amber Ace Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
She is a great person.
I think we met at Soundset. I'd never met her before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know.
I know now.
So you're here today. You're not You have nothing to plug.
I have literally album, nothing to promote.
Written in Lights.
Which, Falling in Like.
Written in Lights is the name of the song.
Written in Lights is the song that we did. But really, I mean, the album's been out a while. It's doing pretty well. People are, you know, buying it. You can buy it at, you know, at shows and stuff. Otherwise, you can get it at the Bloody Boombox web store.
Yes.
And really, yeah, I don't have anything to promote. I've been, you know.
Is it on iTunes?
It's not on iTunes.
Amazon MP3?
It's not on any digital media site. You know, I think you can get it. Every once in a while, I'll release it for free on, I don't remember, it's either Bandcamp or SoundCloud, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll shoot out a blast. It's like, hey, download the record for free. And we did it last, I don't know, Labor Day weekend or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I was blown away by the show. I mean, like hundreds of people downloaded the record. I was like, this is great. I mean, it would have been greater if they'd all bought the record,
right,
but it was great to just, you know, to get the name out there, and yeah, but for now, I'm taking a bit of a hiatus with the birth of my first child.
Yes.
Imminent. In
Walther.
The next, Walther.
And it's a girl.
Yep. The girl Walther. Due here in the first week of October. So I'll, you know, taking care of some family stuff and then, you know, get back on it and make some more music.
I can't wait to have you on after the baby is born, because it'll be 9 o'clock at night and you'll be tired.
I won't be drinking Diet Mountain Dew.
No, you won't.
I might need a Diet Mountain Dew to stay awake.
It'll be regular Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be drinking the Surge that
I
ordered.
Yes. Well, I wanted to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Speaking of albums that are coming out.
Albums.
Run the Jewels.
Yes.
Have an album coming out.
They do.
As you know, Killer Mike, LP, Run the Jewels 2, R2J2. They put up some pre-orders.
Yes.
Okay, you're familiar with these pre-orders?
I got the email. I'm on the list.
Okay. So they have this genius bout of promotion going right now in marketing. The album comes out on October 28th, and you can download the album for free, of course.
Just like the last one.
Just
I think
like
it was
the last
same
one. Yep. But now they're offering a plethora of packages,
mm-hmm,
ranging from your standard CD download all the way to on the high end.
I think it's like $5,000 or $20,000 or some insane amount of money. Is there more?
There's one that's a $10 million.
Well, I didn't see that one. Yeah. I saw one that was like, it was like $5, $10, $20 grand, something like that. But there's only one of these. Like,
okay,
you could only order one of this package.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're not completely familiar, because you are going to be within minutes here.
All right.
So for $10, you can get, of course, a high quality digital file download, which is, you know, a little bit better than the free,
mm-hmm,
for the audio files out there.
And it comes in like waves rather than like an MP3.
Right. Is yeah, like 24-bit. Yeah. $12 for the CD, the CD digital download, all that stuff. Then we start stepping in the right direction, mm-hmm, here. $250 will get you this. The CD, the download, the T-shirt, the poster, vinyl test pressing, and there's only 20 of those in existence.
Yep.
Okay. Then it steps up to $7,500.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is the I'm on the fucking list, asshole, package, which includes everything in the normal package, but you get a ticket for any of the tour dates for their tour, plus backstage access to any show. And in addition, it says there's also tiers and a deli tray.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's almost like a reverse Kickstarter. Like,
right,
instead of getting the money, like they get the money, they do, it's like they do the project and now they're going to sell it to you in these different tiers with levels of,
and these with these larger ones, if they actually sell,
mm-hmm,
the money's going to go to charity.
Oh, that's
they're
nice.
Saying, yeah.
At what point?
Right, I don't know. $25,000 is the show and tell package, where Run the Jewels will fly to your town and accompany your child to show and tell at his or her school on an agreed upon date and in the United States.
That's a great
where they
great
will
idea.
Answer any questions the children have about marijuana, rap music, and global politics. Run the Jewels will also read the story of your child's choice to the class, as well as take a picture with them and their classmates. And they'll also provide personal bully protection for 24 hours as well.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. If your kid's a nerd, you better get, you need Killer Mike protection.
Yes. LP will also explain the true nature of the world and teach your child how to curse and smoke if desired. Killer Mike will teach your child how to fight and organize. You also get an autographed class picture and a Hot Wheels car with that package.
Hmm.
So as you can see, they're pretty entertaining here.
Absolutely.
This is good stuff. I'm not going to elaborate on all of them, but only my favorite of them. For $35,000 is the House Sitters Deluxe Package, which I'm assuming has something to do with them house sitting for you.
That's like the opposite of what I want. Like if there was a choice, like I'd probably pay them not to house sit for me.
Who knows what'll happen?
Yeah, they would probably do some damage.
I mean, we've seen the movie with Queen Latifah and Steve Martin. We know how it goes.
I haven't seen that movie, actually.
Oh, well. For $40,000, the Meow the Jewels package. Meow the Jewels, where they will re-record the R2J2 album with cats and cat sounds. That's probably the best one. For $50,000, Mystery Time Supreme package. $55,000, the Jewels Candygram package, where they'll wrap the album on your doorstep while dressed in clothing made of candy. $100,000 is the Fuckboy Revenge package. Check this one out. Run the Jewels will fly to your town, stalk, and ultimately take revenge upon anyone in your life who has ever wronged you through a series of humiliating and vicious tactics designed to bring shame upon their name and the name of their children. We will then train your enemies to pet to love you. This offer does not include murder. Also, a Polaroid picture of your enemy begging for forgiveness, one clump of your enemy's hair, and one pet.
I'm really glad that I don't have any rich enemies at this point in right. my life.
Yeah, because you'd be fucked.
God, right now. Totally.
Fuck, boy.
Because it's no thing, like, if you're like a multimillionaire, well, it's $100,000, you know?
I think the term fuck boy, too, is like an Atlanta thing.
It's like he says in Mallrats, a small price to pay for the smiting of one's enemies.
Have you heard the term fuckboy before?
I have.
From Killer, out of the mouth of Killer Mike, I'm sure.
I've heard it out of the mouth of a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But I think Minnesota Snipe was the first one I heard say it.
Okay. This makes sense now. All right, $200,000. This is the We Are Gordon Ramsay Supreme package. $350,000 is the Self-Righteousness for Sale package, where Run the Jewels will spend 6 months pretending to care about whatever you care about.
How long?
6 months.
And how much money?
$350,000.
Wow.
They will travel to no more than 3 events of your choosing and make eloquent, timely speeches on your cause's behalf. That's a good one. $10 million is, of course, the retirement package. Now, these are all legit. I mean, you could actually pay for this if you had the money. But there's a group of people, or one person in particular, that wants to find out if this is real. So this guy created a Kickstarter to try to raise $40,000 for the Meow the Jewels package. Right.
Well, I think that's the best one to do a Kickstarter for. Yeah. Because that's the one that the most people could appreciate.
Right, right. And... they have a Kickstarter. I checked the progress. I'm going to check right now.
Let's check right now.
And as of 9:03 p.m., today is Wednesday night, September something or other, 17th?
17th.
There is 40 days to go, 419 backers already, $6,466 pledged of $45,000.
Not bad. Yeah, because you got to pay those Kickstarter fees.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a $45,100.
Oh, it's a $45,000. How much does it cost to do the $40,000?
Yes. Wow. Kickstarter's going to make some money there.
No, they get their slice off the cheese.
Yeah. Got to get your slice off the cheese.
That's right.
Yeah, LP has said that a portion of any profits will go to charity, namely to the families of those who have lost their lives to police brutality this year, and a smaller portion will go to help neglected animals. Or cats.
And a good portion, I hope, goes into the pockets of LP and Killer Mike. I mean, they put out a good record. You deserve to get, I know that it's very cool to like put out records for free and do stuff like that, but mm-hmm. I mean you're putting your life. I mean, this is what they do; it's their job.
Right.
And as a society, we have to decide that music is worth paying for again.
Right.
Or people aren't going to make music. This or people true. Aren't going to make worthwhile music. The people who are getting paid will make the music that you're currently hearing on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, there's the other side of the coin is, yeah, people make a lot of money for music that mm-hmm. is terrible. Yeah. But Killer Mike, as you know,
is not one of those people.
He's not.
No, in fact, if I remember right, we were doing, I don't remember if it was the first year. I think it was the first year where we did the year-end recap. And I think I listed...
Run the Jewels.
No. I think I listed R.I.P. R.A.P. Yeah, yeah. music yes, as one did. Of my, if it wasn't my top record, you it was in indeed. My like, top three records of the year. I love that record. I still listen to it all the time.
And I still haven't heard it.
You're missing out.
But we did Run the Jewels was last year, mm-hmm. correct? And one of my favorites of last year. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge LP fan. I love Killer Mike's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Killer Mike was actually just on, like, he was all over the news talking about the young man who was shot by the police officer
in Ferguson.
In Ferguson, yeah. And he's very well spoken. Mm-hmm. I did not know his dad was a police officer. So
he's very socially active, and that's I like that.
Yeah. So it sounds like LP might be heading the these various packages. But yeah. Are you going to buy one?
Yeah, I think I will.
You going to go for the meow?
I think, well, no, I think I'm going to try and smite my enemies. If I can just...
Who's it going to be?
If I can dig 100 grand out of my... Ooh, that's tough. There's so many...
You got a kid on the way?
There's so many enemies that I could...
I think your wife would understand.
If I, like, cash out my retirement, right. sell my car, yeah. do everything I can to try and scrape together $100,000 to smite an enemy. I don't even know who it would be.
Well, you don't have to name any names right now.
Well, it would definitely be someone famous.
On the other side of the desk from you.
You
son of
next
a
time,
bitch.
Next time we're on the podcast, I'll let you know who it is. It'll right. probably have already been. The deed will
it's
have
already
been
done.
Done,
yeah. Well, my next topic I had was I'm looking for an intern. I haven't really talked about this on the podcast yet.
No, only on the internet.
I'm legitimately looking for... People, like, thought I was joking at first.
Really?
Like, I'm apparently a little bit of a sarcastic person. I am legitimately looking for an intern. Well, I mean, we came across it here. I don't remember exactly what we were looking for, but it was like, if I had this person sitting right here with a computer being like, oh,
look,
yeah, boop, 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 boop,
look
boop,
that
boop,
up.
Yep. We did right there.
Be
and
done.
He'd make some funny comment, or she.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like a sidekick.
Sidekick,
too.
Exactly.
Like on the on the radio, they have the main guy, and they get the little sidekick. Right. You could have a sidekick. What sort of qualifications are you looking for?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. Well, I'm looking for someone that might be into broadcast or some sort of production that's interested. Because,
mm-hmm.
of course, people are always like, I've always wanted to start a podcast. Well, guess what? You can, and you don't
anybody,
need me.
Anybody
to do
can start a podcast. I think the problem is that people love the idea of starting a podcast. I don't mm-hmm. think they love the idea of continuing to do a podcast. Like you've kept it going strong. You know, every week you got a new. Some of these people, I feel like they'd start a podcast, they'd do like three episodes, and they'd be like, "I'm not doing this podcast anymore."
This sucks.
It's a hard. It's a tough racket. The podcast racket.
Is that? Is it like? Come on, why are you still doing the podcast?
No, I think I am. I respect your. I don't know what the word I'm looking
drive?
For is.
Drive.
Yeah, your motivation. You keep it going.
Yeah.
Some people would be done with podcasting.
Not me.
Not you.
Not me, man.
Well, I'm glad because
we'll see after episode 100.
I have no other public forum from which to voice my opinions.
Yeah.
This is the only
one. This is the only place to do
it. This is the only place. You know, other than the records that I make and put out. This
right.
is my only public forum.
Well, I think your next album, which I don't know that you're ever going to do, but maybe it should be about how much you love Warren G's Regulate album.
Maybe like a tribute record.
Right. Yeah.
Just re-record all the songs with Macklemore.
Nice. Or Wayne's. Wands.
Or Michael McDonald.
Yes. Oh, that'd be so cool.
Do a whole record of Michael McDonald's albums.
Yes.
All right, Egypto, let's get to work.
You know what? No, so I'm basically looking for someone to assist me in such things, you know, kind of, you know, be there for me. Assist with booking guests, promoting.
Would they get an @thankyourob.com email address?
They certainly would. I actually didn't. I didn't put that in the thing.
It's a big selling point.
Is it really?
I think so.
Yeah. The official.
I mean, how many people have @thankyourob?
One person.
There you go. See, yeah. I think about that's my big selling point. I say, hey, you can have a johnny?com email address.
Right.
And there's only three of us.
I suppose it would be important for the person to know that you would not make any money.
None.
As a matter of fact, you would give me money.
For the right to work with you.
That's for the @.com address, at the thankyourob.com address. The internship would start the first week of November and end the last week of February. So it is a 4-month bid if you're interested.
Are you asking me?
I don't know. Are you interested?
I know. I think I did a pretty good job leading the question. I think I might have a future in sidekicking. Have you tried like the broadcasting schools? Like the
It's funny you
Brown?
Say that because I did. I did. I've got a line out at McNally Smith, mm-hmm. Hennepin Tech, and
Brown College. Is that the other one?
Is it Brown
the one that does the broadcasting?
Yeah, a lot of them do it these days. There's also some Jesus one.
Everyone wants to be on the radio.
I didn't email the Jesus one.
No?
No. I've been kind of rubbed the wrong way with...
Jesus?
With Jesus. There's a new show on called Utopia.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched Utopia?
No, God, no. I've seen the commercials for Utopia, and I've intentionally avoided it.
Okay, so the premise is... They're taking these like 12 people of all different walks of life. Okay, so first of all, you know it's not, they're not going to get along. Okay?
No. Well, they intentionally choose.
And they intentionally
assholes.
Choose, yes, yes. So there's the preacher guy.
Right.
And of course, he's upset because there's naked people.
Right.
And it's like, what the fuck did you expect?
What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
I feel like that show is not properly titled, because like if you wanted to really see what would happen to try and create a utopian society, I feel like you would want to get people who all sort of have similar mindsets and see if they could do better than what we're currently doing in a situation where everyone's
right.
You know, and then I mean I have to imagine you'd still have your drama, because people even inside of groups would they bicker and they fight
right.
each other, but let them build their own societies, a group of like-minded people,
mm-hmm.
and see how it does.
Right.
I feel like that would be a better premise for a show, but you probably know, not as interesting.
Right, and on that same note, the premise is only for, the show runs for a year,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you already know that there's an end to this. So your mindset is, okay, I just have to survive for a year. Where in a true utopia is you're surviving
That's
because
your
you
life.
Have no other choice.
Right.
Yeah. To live or die.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure there's a contract that these people have signed that no matter what happens, you cannot kill another person
no kills.
In order for you to survive. So that's my 2 cents on Utopia.
Yeah, well, Screwtopia.
Yeah, Screwtopia. Is that the new word?
Yeah, it's my.
Do you have a name for those things?
Combining words.
Yeah.
No, there is a name for them. There's a, and I don't recall it offhand.
Combirds.
You know, if we had an intern right now, they could look it up.
Yes.
But there's actually a name for combined words. Like, there's a term for it.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
All right. Well, when you come back for mm-hmm. the recap of 2014,
yeah,
there will be another person sitting here.
All right.
He or she will be able to fact check anything.
That's great.
Any
I'm
question
super excited.
We have.
I'm super excited right to have someone to tell me that I'm wrong when I'm like, well, in 1987, they'll be like, no.
So another requirement, of course, is mad Googling skills.
Yeah.
M-A-A-D.
You'll be quick to the Google draw.
Yes. Well, that's really all I have for today. Thanks for joining me to talk Warren G.
Hey, I'm glad to do it. And can I just say rest in peace to the iPod?
Rest in peace
R.I.P.
to the iPod.
R.I.P. iPod. It's over.
It's over.
It's done.
Now that the iPhones are in 64 and 128 gig.
They're done manufacturing the iPod Classic, which
yes.
is, to me, the greatest piece of...
It is.
Of technology ever.
We were before we started recording, we were talking because you have pre-ordered your iPhone 6
I have.
Plus.
6 Plus.
I have ordered my iPhone 6.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got my iPhone 5S, I was like, I'm still going to use my iPod Classic. Because I have like 120 gig one. Every mm-hmm. single song I own is on there. And I have not used it once since I've had my iPhone. Yeah.
I have 160 gig classic, and I have it plugged in. It never leaves my car. It's plugged in my car.
All the time.
All the time. And I got playlists, unless I'm going to add more music to it. But yeah, other than that, I'm constantly using it. And I'm sad that they're taking that away.
Well, you'll always have your...
It was such a novel concept, too. And it sort of, I think it sort of signifies the end of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like people owned records, and then they owned tapes, and they owned CDs, and then they owned digital copies of these files, and they had to store it. But now everything, ownership is dead. It's all about access now.
Right.
You know, if you can listen to music from the cloud,
yeah.
rendering something like an iPod irrelevant, you don't need that unless you live in an area where you don't have, you know, a lot of internet access.
Mm-hmm.
You can stream it from Spotify or wherever.
Amazon MP3.
Or the
same deal.
iPod or iTunes Radio or wherever like that. So it's a sad day for me because it's the end of ownership.
Right. Well, it's almost like the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, you get paid, it goes into your account. You use your bank card, your credit card, and you just move numbers around. You don't see dollars.
No.
You know? These are crazy times we're in.
It is crazy times.
Crazy times. Of your 160 gig iPod,
yeah.
How much of that space did you actually use?
I think I have about 100 gigs on there.
Wow, that's
it's impressive. A lot. Yeah. I used to be a cheapo rat. I'd go and just dump
buy
money,
stuff.
Just buy CDs at cheapo, and stacks.
Right. And whole albums.
Oh yeah. And then I just dump them in, and there's still stuff on there I've never listened to. Like stuff that I bought intending to
you
listen to.
You probably have a Malik album in there.
It's very possible.
Who's this kid?
I'll have like a band that I like one of their records, and I'll be at cheapo and I'll be like, well, their albums are $3, so I'll buy their entire discography and then I'll dump it on there, and I never listen to it.
Well, now, do you find yourself skipping songs a lot?
Well, what I do is I set up a lot of different playlists.
Oh, you're a playlist guy.
Yeah, I'm a big playlist guy.
I'm learning a lot about you tonight.
All the songs that I really enjoy, I put on like a playlist of songs I listen to. And there's, you know, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 of those songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another playlist of like stuff that I want to check out that I haven't got around to. So if I'm feeling adventurous, I'll throw that playlist on. If I hear something I like, then I'll, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, I set different things for different moods. You know, some stuff for the party, some stuff if I'm exercising, which is almost never. just you know whatever the mood is.
Yeah.
I had this great playlist. We had my wife's family over for Easter a couple years ago, and she's like, "Well, let's make a playlist so we have music playing in the background, people come over." So I created a playlist with 100 songs on it, and I called it 99 songs and fuck the police. And so, and I set it up, and I played it, and I told her, I said, at some point today, fuck the police is going to come on, and you're going to need to turn it before your family hears it. So that was the game I set up with her, was that she was going to have to run over and change fuck the police. That was the condition for me making the Easter playlist.
That's awesome.
So.
That's cool. I want you to know, on a completely different subject,
mm-hmm.
that tomorrow... marks, 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14? 6 years? 6 years since the very last Lunatics show. It must be 5 years. I think it was 2009. So tomorrow, the day that this podcast hits the internet, it'll be 5 years to the day that Lunatics Productions officially was done.
Ceased to operate.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
That's, well, you know, 5 years. Because I remember when, it feels like just recently we were doing the five-year anniversary?
Right.
Lunatics show?
Yeah.
Now the label has been gone for 5 years.
Interesting.
I think it's left a nice legacy, though.
Yeah, I'd say so.
People still like it.
Yeah. Somebody just bought a bunch of albums on Bandcamp under the Lunatics. And then the next day I got a thing saying that the funds didn't go through, so... Luckily, they were all digital albums, not like
you didn't
I was.
Ship them
I wasn't
out.
Waiting in line at the post office, and I get the email. I'm like, shit.
Yep. Yeah. Good thing.
Well, I'm going to wrap this up here.
Let's do it.
Remind the listeners to go to johnny?com.
johnny?com.
The website.
Yep. At @j? On Twitter. Mm-hmm. @j? On Instagram. Facebook.com/ I think it's just Johnny. Facebook.com/johnny?.
Just search for Johnny.
Just search me up, yo. Yeah. I'm here.
Not the actual question mark.
No, you
have
to. You got to spell it out.
One word.
Because people, I think the first time you heard of Johnny question mark, you immediately read it as like Johnny, like Johnny, like you're asking, like Johnny and the question mark. It reads like you're saying Johnny, but as a question. But that it's spelled out. It's a play on Johnny Quest.
Right.
So
but, not Johnny question mark?
No, and I think it's the reference is so dated now that I don't, people don't really know who Johnny Quest is.
No,
but.
Not until Hollywood remakes the movie or something.
And they will.
Yeah, they will.
They will.
So, well,
yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, always.
Appreciate it.
Always. I'll see you on January something.
January. We'll do our year end.
The year end.
I love it.
Recap. Now that the listeners have heard this podcast, they must go to thankyourob.com and click on the podcast link, listen to episode number one or whatever the other ones that you
maybe,
were on.
Maybe not episode number
Don't
one.
Don't listen to episode one. Yeah. But it would be good to hear how
the difference,
how far we've come. And there's the link to my graphic design work,
which is top notch, by the way.
Hey, thank you.
I can vouch for that. Rob did all the art for my
the album Written in Lights
for Falling in Light. He did a fantastic job. He changed it a bunch of times when I asked him to.
Yeah,
and he never complained.
That's the nature of the business.
He never complained about it.
Behind
my back.
No idea.
He never complained about it to my face.
Yeah, you should ask my wife. I was like, fuck it. Fuck. right now I'm working on some work for Jesus.
Jesus.
Or Messenger of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I mean, no disrespect for that. But if this was Utopia, we'd be in an argument right now.
Probably.
And then there's a link to the t-shirt shop, and maybe you'll see a What's NXE t-shirt up here soon.
I hope we do.
In the near future. And a link to Brims and Tongues, a link to Fuzz Talk Radio, our friends in Mankato.
What up, nuts?
And of now that I mentioned it, there's a link to the Lunatics Bandcamp page.
Mm-hmm.
On the
I didn't even know there was a Lunatics Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Is there PLC stuff on there?
No.
There should be.
You guys don't have anything on Bandcamp.
No.
But the beauty of Bandcamp is I could link the PLC stuff right from the Lunatics page because I had Rents' stuff linked, but he took it down for some reason, and now it's like empty spaces.
We'll change that.
Okay. Change it. Make it happen. Make some money.
Yeah, let's make some money.
I'm going to end this. Any last words?
No.
No.
No, thanks for having me. That's my last words.
All right. Handshakes and high fives.
Yes.
Yeah. This is C-Night from the Dove Shack. Getting dough shit out. Kicking it at King's Park with all the homies. You know what I'm saying? So won't you check out my homie Bo to the Rock. I ride with the, I slide with the, Lokes and Dolls from the LBC. All of the hoes wanna kick it with me. I run with Warren G. Brace your weed, Buster's Angie. Water bloom fighters, lowriders, and Eastsiders. All come around.
pleasure, the relaxation, all the fun I'm facing. My homies got green, that's steam, for show though. Hit the stove though, for I can get a photo. My little cousin rushing to the park to munch, standing in line to get a free lunch. Why do we do what we do when we do what we do? Hanging out late with no curfews.
Smothering ribs with barbecue sauce. Foods get tossed if they reach across my barbecue grill. So continue to chill at Kings Park in the LBC. That's where you'll find me, hanging with my homies and my friends.
We got the Coke in here. We got the five-footer than the twins. We got Warren G and the D.O.G.
Oh, come around. You hear that dub, that G-funk sound.